Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 20 is our text for today. It's page 1767 if you are using the church Bible here. Romans 16, verses 17 through 20. Let me read the text. We'll pray together and then look at the verses a little more closely. Verse 17 of Romans 16. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Father, thank you for preserving scriptures for us. As your Spirit inspired these words through the pen of the Apostle Paul, we pray that we would understand the significance of this passage that was written 2,000 years ago to our present day and age, as well as to our individual lives. Help us not just to come to this text for information purposes, but help us to approach this text for transformation purposes. We want to be changed. May your word, as used by your Spirit, accomplish that purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. A few years ago, a New York City couple received through the mail two tickets to a Broadway musical. When those tickets arrived, it came with no other information, who the sender was, who bought it and got it for them, nothing like that. They were a little surprised, but they thought it was one of their friends or family members that gave them as a gift. So they took those tickets and they went to attend the show, and they really enjoyed it. When they returned back to their home, they discovered that their house was ransacked. All their jewelry, the fur coats, everything was gone. And in their bedroom, on their pillow, there was this nice little note within quotes saying, "Now you know. Now you know." Like those nameless thieves or thief, today there's many people who come in the name of Christ and bring divisions and strife within the church. Their only goal, take you away from the truth by appealing to your desires. They know what buttons to push. They know what entices our desires. They know what appeals to our flesh. And they use that to take us away from the clear teachings of Scripture. You see, people who cause divisions, people who teach false things about the Bible, they don't come to us wearing a label saying, "I am a false teacher coming to deceive you." They come to borrow the words of the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians 11 as angels of light, disguised as angels of light. They come as someone who's out to help you, as someone who will show you the religious path to freedom, to true path to heaven. But the reality is, they're deceivers. Jesus, on the other hand, is one we can trust completely. He offers us the gift of eternal life because he truly loves us. Accepting his gift of salvation is the first step in protecting ourselves from the deceptive gifts these false teachers give to us. But even as believers, we can be deceived by the errors of these false teachers, these troublemakers. That's why God's word commands us to study the scriptures seriously, to apply it, and to grow in the faith. That way, we won't realize one day when it's too late, our spiritual life has been ransacked. And in our passage that I just read today, the Apostle Paul gives us some help in this area of handling troublemakers in the church? How can we be protected from troublemakers who cause divisions within the church? It's going to teach us. In Matthew 16, you don't need to turn to it. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus gives this one of these most significant promises concerning the church, where he says, I will build my church. I will build my church. But in the same verse, he also says, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. What does it mean? Hades is a place where dead people go. And who brought death into this world? Satan. In that sense, Satan controls people's minds through fear and through the fear of death and leads them to sin. So what Jesus is telling is, as I'm building my church, Satan also will be attacking it. But you keep clinging to me, my church will go on. So the very fact that Jesus tells us that the gates of Hades will not overcome it should help us to understand that Satan will be attacking us. How do we make sure we, as individual Christians and collectively as a church, protect ourselves from divisive people, from false teachers, so that we can stay strong, so we can endure? Apostle Paul gives us three things we ought to do in this passage. How to deal with troublemakers? Three things. Let me give you the three things, then we're going to unpack each of those. Number one, he says, be watchful at all times. Be watchful at all times. Number two, keep maintaining a healthy distance. Keep maintaining a healthy distance. And number three, grow in discernment. Grow in discernment. Keep growing in wisdom. Keep growing in knowledge. Number one, be watchful at all times. Look at the first part of verse 17. Letter is coming to a close. Paul with a loving heart comes alongside, sort of kind of putting an encouraging hand over the shoulders of the believers. That's what the word urge means. I urge you. I encourage you. I'm coming alongside, brothers and sisters. This is what I want you to do. Command number one, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Watch out. It's in the present tense. Keep watching out. Keep watching out. He doesn't give us much identity, much information as the identity of these troublemakers. Who are these people he's talking about? Are these people that are these Jewish teachers who come and say you have to keep the Jewish law? They brought all in food and holy days regulation. Were they the people that caused Paul to write in Romans 14 through 15 about unity and not getting divided over these food and holy days? We're not told. Are these people believers? Or are they unbelievers? It could be that they're believers, really weak and immature believers. But I tend to look at these as unbelievers. Why? Because of verse 20. In verse 20, all of a sudden Paul talks about this, God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Why is he bringing Satan into the picture here? I believe in the immediate context, it's because false teachers, these people who are bent to destroy the church, are influenced by Satan. They're his children. So I think that's why I tend to lean on the fact that these troublemakers, these people who are causing divisions, are unbelievers. I'm not dogmatic about it, because sometimes believers, as I say, can also act in similar ways. And much is not told about the content of their teaching as well. What exactly were they teaching? We're not told. Who they are? We're not told. What they're teaching? We're not told. So we have to be a little careful in not going beyond what Scripture says. But the main point, what Paul says, is this: watch out. Watch out. You need to deal with these troublemakers in an effective manner. If not, you can bring great harm upon yourselves. First of all, that word watch out, it's the word from which you get the word scope. Now you use a scope to see, check things out that are far. The idea here has this picture of a shepherd when he takes his flock to feed them. He goes on a little higher level on a plane. From the plane, he goes a little higher level so he can scope out the area to see if there's any wolves coming. That way he can protect his flock. In fact, it's that word from which we get the word overseer or pastor or elders. It's the same person. Church leaders are the first and foremost to be watchful, to make sure They deal with divisive people in a firm way, to deal with false teachers in a firm way as well. So he says, watch out. But in this passage, he's not limiting this just to the leadership. He's telling every Christian, watch out. Keep watching out. You've got to have this sense of vigilance. He goes on to describe two things that characterize these divisive people, these troublemakers. Number one, they cause divisions. They cause divisions. It's like a divide and rule mindset. That's what they tend to do. Divide and rule. They cause divisions, number one. And number two, they put obstacles, stumbling blocks that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. In other words, he's saying, you Roman Christians, even though I've not seen you directly, you have received good Bible teaching. The name that he listed earlier in verses 1 through 16 tell us some of those people and their background. Solid teachers you've had. But these divisive people, don't know if they're in the church or if they're yet to come. Paul may just be preparing them to face these people should they come. Paul by now has had enough experiences with false teachers as in the churches that he's planted. So he knows if they're not there yet, they will be coming. So but these are the characteristics. These are the signs. They come. They come to you. This is what they tend to do. Watch out. Watch out. Now, don't forget, in a church, there will be divisions. When you're loyal to Christ, you're loyal to scriptures, some people won't like it and they will leave. The message of the cross is an offensive message. It is a stumbling block. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1. So there will be an offense, there will be a stumbling block, there will be divisions. But that is what I would call as a positive division. You're dividing over holding on to the truth and rejecting error. But these people will cause divisions in a negative way. How? They will cause you to deviate from the truth by holding on to error. Be watchful. Be watchful. Jesus himself said these words in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. Very important verses. Very important verses. You can turn to it in your Bibles, or you can listen along with me. If you're in Romans, just flip back about three or four books. You're going to find yourself in Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. And in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, Jesus tells us these things. Verse 15, page 1510. It says, watch out for false prophets. Watch out. Watch out. They come to you in sheep's clothing, meaning they come to you as a shepherd and as someone who is to benefit you. But inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. In other words, Jesus is saying, watch out. Check them out. There's a fruit. By a fruit you tell the nature of the tree. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. So Jesus is telling, watch out. Paul is telling, watch out. Watch out. That's the first thing. If you want to protect yourself, protect the church. And I would say, yourself, your family, and the church. That's the first thing to do. Recognize them early on for who they are. Number two, once you watch out, once you identify, what do? That's the second part of verse 17 and 18 tells us, keep maintaining a healthy distance from them. Keep maintaining a healthy distance from them. Look at the last part of verse 17. Keep away from them. Keep away. No other alternative. The same Paul who just one verse earlier told, greet one another with a holy kiss, now tells, stay away from some people. There, stick close to those who are brothers and sisters. But those who cause divisions, those who teach things that are contrary to the scriptures, stay away. Don't dialogue with them. That was a problem Eve had. She was dialoguing with Satan. Cut him off right away. When you dialogue with troublemakers, you will be affected. Sometimes you will feel like coming home and just taking a bath, because that's how bad it can be. I'm telling you. Distance yourself from people who stubbornly deviate from biblical teaching, who just don't want to change. Paul is very strong. The original is very strong in this verse. He does not want people to fall into the danger of being influenced by them. Just like being watchful was in the present tense, keep maintaining your distance. It's the present tense. Keep away. Keep on keeping away. That's what he's telling. Why? He gives the reason in the first part of verse 18. For, look at verse 18, starts with for, because such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. That's why you keep staying away from them. That word serving is the word from which you get the word slave. In other words, they're not slaves of Christ, they're slaves to self. The word appetite has the idea of the whole body. They're there for themselves. They're in it for their own glory. Elsewhere in Philippians 3:19, Paul describes these people in this way. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. They're only there for themselves. Self-glory, promoting my kingdom, my glory, not Christ's kingdom, not Christ's glory. That's why you need to keep maintaining a healthy distance from them. That's their motive. Their motive is self-glory, self-exaltation. My church, my ministry, my. It's all about them. Rub them the wrong way, you're anathema. Stay away from such people. You see, ultimately, there are only two categories of people in this world. Those who serve Jesus Christ and those who serve self. Oh, they might be serving other gods, but it's not the true God. It's gods that you make with your own hands. Gods that you carry. But the God of the Bible says, I carry you. You serve yourself, or you serve Christ. By the way, this is not the only time Paul is calling for a drastic response like this. Turn with me to the book of Titus. Fast forward. If you're in Romans, move forward about 6-7 books, something like that. Book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Page 1857. Titus 3, notice what Paul says here. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. Do you see the clarity with which he's saying this? Warn a divisive person. What are we dealing with in Romans 16 here? Division. Divisions. Those who cause stumbling blocks. Divisive people. And Paul clearly says, warn them once, warn them a second time. If they don't change, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. They're bringing judgment upon themselves. Just stay away from them. Stay away from them. That's what Paul is saying. Now, you might say, well, what about Matthew 18? Jesus gives this three-step process, right? If someone sins, go to them private. If they don't repent, take two or three. If not, tell it to the church, etc., etc. I believe in some cases, you bypass that lengthier process and you go straight to what Paul tells in Titus here. Why? Because of the seriousness of the danger these people can pose. That's the issue. That's the issue. We need to be mindful of what's at stake here. We need to be mindful. Paul says clearly, stay away, keep staying away. So their motive, self-glorification. But then what is the means they use? Back to Romans 16. What are the means they use? Notice what he says at the end of verse 18. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. The means they use is words. Spoken words, written words. That's what they use. How do they get you away from track? So that you will build their kingdom? Get you away from the clear teachings of the Bible? The means they use are words. Words. Small talk. Flattery. Words that does not promote godliness, but words that just puff up your ego, your desires. Make you feel very important. The Bible calls us to renew our minds with the truth. These troublemakers attack the minds with error. They appeal to the fleshly desires. And that way, slowly, they get you away from the truth. It's not right away deviating. Slow deviation. In long distance shooting, some of these Olympic competitions, and it's long distance, if they see a mark in the end, wherever you're supposed to hit, the shooter, does not always aim exactly at that, depending on the wind velocity, on the type of the gun he's using. They aim it a little to the left, so that by the time it goes there, there's the deviation. And these people, same way. They don't start right away. They slowly get you off the mark. Slowly. That's the main thing. Slowly they get you. And before you realize, you're saying, well, that's where I was supposed to be. That's the path I was on. But look where I am. Much spiritual damage is done in that process. Their weapons, words. Manipulative. Smooth talk. Appealing to what you like. They know what buttons to push. And the problem is the people that they target are naive people. That's what it says, naive people. Those who are easily gullible. Maybe new converts, or even people who have been Christians for a long time, but just have been immature. These are people who think everyone who carries a Bible, speak a few Christian terms, are believers. Or even mature believers that we can follow. They just blindly follow them. That's their target audience. And they exploit them. They exploit them. You see, Satan is a master of deceiving the mind. He has no problem misquoting the Bible to get people to deviate from the truth. Think about this, folks. Perfect world. The perfect garden. Perfect human beings, Adam and Eve, were deceived by Satan. Through words. He appealed to the desires of their flesh. At that time, the flesh was not sinful. Imagine now. We are in our sinful flesh yet. Just like that, he can get us off track. Foolish is that person who thinks, I'm strong to handle all these things. It's naive thinking, Paul says, naive. The problem with many believers is this. I'll keep them at close range. I cannot cut them off. But nothing's going to happen to me. You cannot play with fire and expect not to be burned. It's a reality. It's an old tale about a farmer who, while he was hoeing in his field during the spring thaw, came upon this snake. So he raised his hoe to kill that snake. And the snake talks back to him, says, listen, I'm too frozen to do you any harm. So the farmer, full of compassion, picked up the half-dead serpent, put it inside his tunic there, and continued working. As the heat started rising, the snake started getting warmer and warmer, and bit him. And he threw that snake out, and he said, I trusted you, why did you do this to me? The snake's response, you know I was a snake. It is my tendency to kill. Sin comes like that. It is my tendency to steal and to kill and to destroy. You keep me close to your bosom, you will get burnt. You will get burnt. You play with fire, you're going to get burnt. What we expose ourselves to, what we expose our eyes to, our ears to, will have an impact on us sooner or later. So, it's important to always be maintaining a healthy distance from unbelievers. You do no favors by keeping them close to you. Watch out. Keep maintaining your distance. And thirdly, grow in discernment. Verse 19, grow in discernment. Look at verse 19. Everyone has heard about your obedience. Paul is very tactful here. He's not saying, hey, you Roman Christians, you're being misled by these troublemakers. Yet, he foresees dangers and he warns them, but he does not want them to get the wrong idea that they're not discerning, they're not obedient. He says, listen, everybody has heard about your obedience. Obedience is an important theme in Romans, which I'll cover in my next sermon. Paul assures these Romans that their obedience to the gospel was known to everyone. It was an encouragement to everyone. Hey, your obedience has brought encouragement to many, including me. That's why he says, so I rejoice because of you. The so is connected to your obedience. We feel the same way, right? When we hear some Christian somewhere staying strong, we rejoice even though we never see them. That's the idea here. Hey, I rejoice. You guys are walking in obedience. But think about this. If you were to deviate from the truth by allowing these troublemakers to have a foothold, then that'll bring great sorrow to everyone because you're no longer walking in obedience. So I want you to grow in discernment. Understand the ramifications of your actions. I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. J.B. Phillips, years ago in his paraphrase, captured the contrast while he says this, quote, I want to see you experts in good and not even beginners in evil, end quote. Experts in good, not even beginners in evil. In context, the good here is a reference to holding on to the biblical teaching, and the bad is rejecting that and taking the teaching that will deviate you from the Bible. That's the bad. By approving of these people, by allowing them to have a foothold in your life, that's the bad thing. It's important to fill our minds with the truth rather than fill our minds to gain a deeper knowledge of evil. That's naive thinking. That is why. You don't need to find out all the details about something that is evil. Sometimes people, for the sake of knowledge or even for the sake of apologetics, they go beyond a certain line wanting to find out more and more details about what is wrong. We don't need to fill our minds with garbage. We hardly have enough time to fill our minds with a good thing. The scriptures, why do we need to preoccupy ourselves with all the gory details of things that are contrary to scriptures? I remember it was almost probably a dozen years ago now. I was invited to speak at a Christian school here in one of their classes. And one of the things that we were dealing with how Christian or professing Christian kids that come from Christian homes, we're dabbling with a lot of things like numerology, astrology, witchcraft, and things like that. And in that hour and a half or so in my talk with the Q&A and all that, one of the things that I was telling them was, I remember very vividly, Romans 12, I said, Bible calls us to renew your minds with the truth. You are filling your minds with junk. You don't need that. You don't need to know all that, because sooner or later, there's an appeal to it. It'll start getting you into it. Things like numerology or witchcraft or astrology, one by one, I told them, I've been in that. I've done that. I know the effects of that. It's dangerous. It's deadly. It's not just empty fun. Even looking at the zodiac on newspapers, it's not a fun thing. It just puts thought in your mind. Oh, today, I'm this and this, so it could be like this. Why do we need to fill our minds with junk? So he says, be wise about what is good. We can't even list all the 66 books in the Bible, and sometimes we're believers for 10, 20, 30 years. That's how weak our biblical knowledge is. But yet, why do we need to fill our minds with what is evil? That's why Paul says, be innocent about what is evil. It'll weaken our resolve if we start dabbling into things that we don't need to know. It's important to see here how much Paul stresses on human responsibility. Keep watching out. Keep maintaining a healthy distance. Grow in discernment. That's the human side of it. But we can do nothing apart from divine sovereignty as well, right? I mean, we need God, God's promises, God's power. That's why in verse 20 he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. In other words, we fight this battle based on God's promises and God's power. Here's a promise to motivate us in obeying these commands to deal with troublemakers with confidence. Yes, we must shoulder our responsibilities to do what we're called to do, but we can do that with the assurance that our sovereign God will soon crush Satan. It's a matter of time. Victory will be ours through Christ. That phrase, God of peace. Earlier in chapter 15, verse 33, he said the same thing. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Second time he's quoting the same phrase, the God of peace. Beautiful description. The God who is the source of peace and the God who gives peace. Even though we might not feel it always, but he is the God of peace. It's interesting though, that term peace here stands in stark contrast to the word divisions earlier. See, Satan is the author of confusion. Always he divides. But God is the God of peace. God is the God of peace. That does not mean God is not a God of war either. Peace and war can exist together in this God. The same God of peace is always at war with anything that's contrary to his word. Always, always. Always. God will always preserve his truth in this world, and we are called to do the same. Guard what's been entrusted to you, Timothy. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12. Guard it. Protect it. Satan was dealt a crushing blow at the cross. He's the defeated enemy, but he's not fully vanquished. So when Jesus returns with us, with the church, at his second coming, Revelation 19, you can read from verses 11 on all the way to chapter 20, verse 6. Satan will be bound, put away from this earth, bound for 1,000 years. God will crush this. This has the idea of Genesis 3:15, where when God judged Satan, he said, the seed of the woman, pointing to Jesus, will crush your head. This will happen. But Paul here says, notice, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Meaning we will be involved, we will be participating in this crushing when Christ returns with us. It's a matter of time. But until then, it's a prophecy. This will happen. Until then, we are called to take a strong stand against these troublemakers. And he ends his section with a beautiful prayer. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Way back in chapter 1, verse 7, he said, the grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the same grace he prays for them. In other words, salvation is by grace, and that grace comes through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But Paul also prays for this grace to keep believers in that narrow path, in that biblical path, so that they will not yield to these troublemakers and thus bring great harm upon themselves. As long as the church is there, troublemakers will be there. It's a given. It's inevitable. These people whose motive is for self-glory will use the means of words to entice us, to call us to deviate. They want to have control over us. Oh, they're persistent. They will keep calling you. They will keep emailing you. They will keep sending representatives to you. They will keep on and on and on coming. No end to it. Come to our meetings. Come to our meetings. Come, attend, expose. You're a blessing. You're an encouragement. They'll feed our ego. They'll feed our ego. As long as we keep giving in, they'll keep contacting us. That's the problem. Sometimes we believers don't want to offend people. We don't want to come across as unloving. We don't want to lose friendships. At times we can even hold on to some silly notion of loyalty to people rather than loyalty to the one who died on the cross and rose again. Carry the serpent in our bosom, expecting not to be burned. That's dangerous thinking. One commentator wrote this: the issue is not making or keeping friends, but pleasing the Lord and maintaining a consistent testimony. That's the important thing. Pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord. If we seek to be obedient to Christ's commands, we must be willing to deal with troublemakers in a firm manner. Association with them will always bring harm. Whether it's through physical contact, through a book, through the TV, through the internet, whatever be the case, these people, because they're influenced by Satan, know how to get to us. Don't read their material. Don't listen to their sermon. Don't attend their meetings. Don't send your kids to their meetings. Don't. Why would you do that? Why would you put people in harm's way? It's a clear command, isn't it? Keep away. Keep away. Why are we embracing such people? You see, when we play with fire, we'll get burned at least in three ways. One, we can lose testimony. Our own testimony. How so, you say? Well, our children see us do that, then it's going to be okay. They'll go. Two, naive believers will see us. Hey, they're going. I can go too. I can listen too. I can read that too. I can watch that too. We're leading them astray. A third one, as you go, you're promoting their event, which means the error continues to spread, and you are an indirect means through which Satan's lies are propagated. Jesus' message is being described. You cannot justify your actions, at least not before a holy God. You can justify before humans, but can you really justify before a holy God? Presence is participation. Make no mistake. It is sin to be physically present when teachings contrary to the scriptures are being taught on the pulpit, off the pulpit. When you find people who tell you their ministry is the only biblical way, everything else is wrong, watch out. God gives you a brain, He's given you His book, He's given you His spirit. Stay firm. Your loyalty is to Christ, not to people, not to your husband, not to your wife, not to your children, not to your parents, not to your friends, only to Jesus Christ. Yes, I understand, we're called to maintain unity, we're called to be divisive too. God will give us the wisdom if we are firmly committed to exalting Jesus Christ. Be on guard at all times. Keep maintaining a healthy distance. Keep growing in discernment. I want to close by reading three verses from Jeremiah 23, and I want you to turn to it, please. Jeremiah chapter 23. It's kind of sort of in the middle of the Bible. Still more to the right side of the middle, Jeremiah 23. It's page 1215 in the church Bibles. 1215. I'm going to read verses 30 through 32, but I would encourage you, go home and read from verse 16 on. Because right in verse 16, it's a lengthy discourse that continues on, but verse 16 is, God says, don't listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes, etc., etc. Then come down to verse 30. It's God basically laying it out there. He says, this is how I feel about people who teach anything that's contrary to the scriptures. Look at verse 30. Therefore, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. Meaning they will say, God said this. Verse 32. Indeed, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. Yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord. I want to draw your attention to this one phrase that appears three times. Look at verse 30. I am against. Verse 31. I am against. Verse 32. I am against. Let's be careful not to entertain those whom God is against. Because if you entertain, you're doing something that puts you against God. I'm against people who tell you anything that's contrary to the scriptures. That's what he's saying. The text is too clear. The question is, will we humble ourselves and take these warnings seriously? We've got to remain steadfast in our loyalty to the truth. That's the only way to please the God of this truth. Let's pray together. Father, we are reminded of the seriousness of this attacks on the church and attacks on the individuals and attacks on the families through people who are troublemakers, divisive people, people who take us away from scriptures. Even a little deviation, Lord, they would be happy to get, because that robs you of the glory that you deserve to get. And that's Satan's intent always, to get people away from worshiping you, the one and only true God. Father, I pray that your words may penetrate our hearts. We don't want to come to the scriptures, whether it's in our personal reading or when we hear a sermon in a church or even elsewhere, and just feel satisfied that, oh, I've read them, I've heard the truth, I was open to the truth, I'm not fighting against the truth. I can even say amen, but if we don't really apply it, we will pay the price. More importantly, we're grieving you in the process. How can we take sides with people who are contrary to what you say? Lord, help us to please you. And when we seriously take full efforts to please you, attacks will come. But Lord, it is worth it. You are a good God. In the end, you will prevail. You will crush Satan under our feet. Thank you for the rich promises we have. Thank you for the serious warnings we have as well. Thank you for your Spirit who will help us to apply these truths. For in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.